Welcome to part 4 of the blues documentary, I Wish I Was in Heaven Sitting Down. In this hour, we'll feature field recordings, which means live music recorded on site. There's perhaps no better record of traditional music, folk and blues, than the recordings of local musicians down south during the period of the 1930s to the early 60s. These recordings captured the music the way it really was, the way people played it in their homes, churches, and dances. Musicians were in their own element among friends and neighbors. It would be difficult to imagine the ascent of the blues without the original recordings done in the field by the great American ethnomusicologists. These scholars ventured south to locate and record some of the best living proponents of this genre. To them, we owe the first recordings of some of the world's finest blues musicians. Names like Alan Lomax, David Evans, Sam Charters, Dale Dean Wardlow, and Dick Spots come to mind immediately. These folklorists crisscrossed America to collect volumes of cultural anthropological data in the form of recording and documentary observation, and they were largely instrumental in the first blues revival of the 1960s, which revived the careers of some of the most important musicians. In the production of this program, we had the fortune to get input from David Evans and the curator of the Alan Lomax Archives, Matthew Barton. David Evans directs the doctoral program in Southern Regional Studies at Memphis State University. He's the author of Tommy Johnson and numerous other articles. Among his honors is the Chicago Folklore Prize from the University of Chicago for his book, Big Road Blues. Dr. Evans is one of the world's most significant blues scholars and an expert on the genre. We asked Dr. Evans to share with us an anecdote from his many field recordings of the blues, and this is what he told us.
I guess I could tell you about my first recording session. This was in 1965, and it was in Franklinton, Louisiana. I had gone there with a friend of mine, Mark Ryan, and with another blues singer from New Orleans, Babe Stovall, back to visit an old friend of Babe's named Roosevelt Holtz. Had originally grown up, as had Babe Stovall, across the state line in Tylertown, Mississippi. He had gotten in trouble in the state of Mississippi back in the late 1930s. In fact, he'd killed a man and had spent some time in the penitentiary. He'd become a bootlegger. When we got there to his house, he had just returned from a run over to Bogalusa, and all of the winos and drinkers in town knew this because they soon started coming over to his place. And this was not really the ideal situation for doing a recording session. At any rate, we made the best of it and turned it somewhat into a party, because of course with the blues you often have drinking and so on. Anyway, we were making some pretty good recordings when through the window of the house we could see the policeman patrolling the street. I'm sure he suspected that Roosevelt was a bootlegger, and there was music going on inside. I had my car parked in the driveway. It was a red Volkswagen with Massachusetts license plates on it, and this was 1965 in the Deep South. I have no idea why the policeman didn't make a move towards Roosevelt Holtz, but glad that he didn't, because when Roosevelt spotted him, he put down the guitar and picked up his shotgun and aimed it outside the window, following the policeman in his sights as he walked down the streets. And I'm going to include a recording of Roosevelt Holtz. This is his prison-bound blues. The piece was originally recorded by Leroy Carr and Scrapper Blackwell. Holtz, however, learned it from Tommy Johnson, and he performs it in the manner of Tommy Johnson. Tommy Johnson himself never recorded his version of this piece.
Sometimes I wonder, why don't you write to me? Sometimes I wonder, why don't you write to me? If I'd have been a bad fella, I didn't intend to be. Grind, where was you when I had my trial? Grind, where was you when I had my trial? Said you was all out of town, and now I'm prison unbound. Cry, Lord have mercy, baby, on my bed of soul. Cry, Lord have mercy, baby, on my bed of soul. The good book teach you, gonna reap just what you sow. Well, look at your pretty mama, baby, what you have done for me. Grind, pretty mama, what you have done to me. Well, you got me here, sure do treat me mean.
That was Dr. David Evans sharing one of his original field recordings of Roosevelt Holtz. Throughout this program, you have heard frequent mention of the name Alan Lomax. Let us now take a look at this great American ethnomusicologist and his contribution to the blues genre. Alan Lomax is widely accepted to be one of the most significant folk music scholars of the 20th century. Lomax studied at Harvard and the University of Texas at Austin and at Columbia University. His father, John Lomax, was also a noted folklorist, and Alan toured the Deep South with him to record music in prisons. They collected folk songs for the Archive of American Songs of the Library of Congress. Among the many people he recorded were several blues musicians who rose to great prominence. Particularly noteworthy are Huddy Ledbetter, known as Leadbelly, Muddy Waters, Fred McDowell, Josh White, and a man who surely would have made it as big as all of them, Forest City Joe, who died in a car accident shortly after Lomax recorded him. Lomax's work includes recordings of folk music in Great Britain, Spain, Italy, and the Caribbean, as well as in North America. He wrote a definitive autobiography of the jazz innovator Jelly Roll Morton entitled Mr. Jelly Roll, and also a history of folk music entitled The Folk Songs of North America and Hard-Hitting Songs for Hard-Hitting People, among many others. In 1993, he published The Land Where the Blues Began. He has edited many volumes of recordings, including Sounds of the South, Blues in the Mississippi Night and American Patchwork, which aired on public television. He was also a great friend and mentor to Woody Guthrie. Many of the songs played for you in this program were recorded by Alan Lomax, and perhaps no other person has made a greater contribution to the documentation of the blues and promoting folk music to broad audiences than Alan Lomax. We ask Matthew Barton, curator of the Alan Lomax Archives, about the significant musicological history held in downtown Manhattan.
Well, as you've seen, you know, we've just walked around the archives and had a look at what we have here. It's an amazing place, you know. It's a tremendous body of work that Alan assembled in his working lifetime. And it incorporates audio tape, videotape, film, photographs, discs, and paper of many, many kinds. Alan's correspondence, his field notebooks, and many other things. It all gets back to what the musician Stephen Wade has called the location of art in human experience, that these recordings preserve the voice of people actively engaged in art as part of their life, that they are not passive consumers, you know, they are, you know, active and creative people in their own right.
Now let's listen to some of the Delta blues musicians first recorded by Alan Lomax. We'll start with Muddy Waters, recorded at the Stovall Plantation in August 1941. We should mention that we've already heard the great Son House, who was recorded by Lomax also in 1941, and then we'll jump ahead an entire decade to 1959 to the first recordings of Mississippi Fred McDowell and the recordings of Forest City Joe. Let's start with Muddy Waters. He was a tractor driver on the Stovall Plantation in Clarksdale, Mississippi. When Alan Lomax traveled to this part of the country, he carried a portable 300-pound tape recorder for this Library of Congress-sponsored field trip to the Mississippi Delta. Muddy Waters would later become one of the most important musicians in Chicago, recording on the Chess label. His career would span into the early 1980s. Muddy Waters is perhaps the most beloved of all the blues players, and his place in the blues is that of indisputable champion. During his long career, he was able to reach millions of people, black and white, all over the world. Along with B.B. King and a handful of others, like the Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters truly reached the status of an international blues superstar. Always known as a man of debonair style, immaculate dress, and the zest for life, Muddy came a long way since his first recordings with Alan Lomax. In fact, when Lomax initially recorded him, Muddy came to the first recording sessions without shoes on. So, Alan Lomax took off his shoes. Lomax knew that he had found one of the most able and talented of all the blues musicians, and Muddy proved him right. As Muddy used to say, "I'm a well-known man." Lomax was really looking for Robert Johnson, but he had been killed. Instead, he found Son House and Muddy Waters, and they were more than willing to fill Robert Johnson's shoes. Let's listen to a few cuts from those historic recordings, including some short interviews.
I'm getting late over in the evening, child, I feel that. Like blowing my horn. I woke up this morning and find my little baby gone. Late over in the evening, man, I feel like blowing my horn. Well, I woke up this morning, baby, find my little baby gone. Well, now, some folks said they worried. War blues ain't bad. That's the merest feeling, child, I most ever had. Some folks tell me, man, I just worried. War blues ain't bad. Well, that's the merest old feeling, honey, now. Well, gal, I most ever had. Well, brooks running to the ocean running into the sea. If I don't find my baby, somebody gonna bury me. Brooks running to the ocean, child, ocean running to the sea. Well, if I don't find my baby now, well, girl, you're gonna have to bury me. Yeah, man, it seemed like hour and hour, seemed like days, seemed like my baby would stop her low down way. Man, it seemed like hour, child, and hour, seemed like days. Yeah, seemed like my woman now, well, gosh, she might stop her low down way. Well, that's a good thing, man. I don't mind living in more if I had a not ride it blind. Yeah, been mistreated, baby, now, baby, and I don't mind dying.
I wonder if you'd tell me, if you can remember, when it was that you made that blues, Mighty Boy.
I made that blues up in 38.
Remember the time, the year?
I made it up about the 8th of October in 38.
Do you remember where you were when you were doing your singing? And how it happened?
Sir.
No, I mean, where you were sitting and what you were thinking about?
Speaking of the puncture on the car. And had been mistreated by a girl, and this looked like that run in my mind to sing that song.
Tell me a little of the story of it, if you don't mind. I mean, if it's not too personal. I mean, I want to know the facts and how you felt and why you felt the way you did. That's a very beautiful song.
Well, I just felt blue, and the song veiled into my mind, and it's come to me just like that song, and I started to sing it and went on with it.
Well, when you... Do you know, is that tune the tune for any other blues that you know?
Well, yes, there's been some blues played like that.
What tune, other blues, do you remember it runs to that same tune?
Well, this song come from the cotton field, and the boy went put the record out, Robert Johnson. He put it out walking blues.
What was the title he put it out under?
He put it out on as name of walking blues.
Uh-huh. Did you know the tune before you heard it on the record, though?
Yes, sir. I knew the tune before I heard it on the record.
Who'd you learn it from?
I learned it from Son House.
Son House, who's that?
That's a boy pick a guitar. And I don't know where y'all.
Both on the road since you were with the
And how old is Son House?
Oh, I'm not even Son. He's aged, but he's about 47.
Did you know Johnson yourself?
Robert Johnson, also. Uh-huh. I didn't know him first.
Is House a better player than Johnson is, you think?
I think they're both about equal.
Well, how did it come to you first that you wanted to play the guitar? Why did you decide that you
I just loved the music. Saw Son Sam them playing, and I just wanted to do it, and I took after it.
Well, about how much have you practiced? How many hours when you were first picking it up? How long did you have to play every day to learn how to play?
From an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Uh-huh. Every day?
Every day.
Uh-huh. Remember what the first piece you ever tried to learn was?
First piece I ever tried to learn was How Long Blues, Leroy Carpenter.
Did you learn that from a record or from Sam?
I learned that from the record.
How would you do? How would you learn that song?
Well, we just heard the song, you know, we just put out, Leroy Carpenter put it out.
Would you sit down with the record and play a little of it and then try to imitate
it? I just got the song in my ear and went on and just tried to play it.
Well, how did you learn how to play with this bottle?
Picked that up from Sun House.
Uh-huh. What do you call that?
It's a bottleneck. I call it a slide.
You call it a slide?
Yes.
You wear on your little finger?
Yes.
And how do you have that guitar tune? What's the name of that tune?
Spanish.
Spanish. Do you know any other ways of tuning the guitar than that?
Well, I know the natural. Tuning natural.
Do you have another tuning besides that?
Yes, I have another tuning.
What's the name of that other tuning?
That's just straight E.
Straight E. Yes. Do you have another name for straight E?
Another song for the E?
No, I mean, is there any other name for that tuning than straight E?
Well, we call it a cross note.
Uh-huh. Well, can you play that other country blues that you played in there a while ago, that fast one?
Yes.
In this same tune here?
Yes.
Well, just a minute. I'll tell you when I'm ready.
How'd you come to develop that one? Where'd you first hear it?
I made that up my own, sir. That's the song I made it.
How'd you come to make it up? Tell us the story.
Well, the reason I come to make that record up once, I was just walking along the road, and I heard a church song, kind of minor that, and I just deal off a little song from there, and I started playing it.
Well, do you make up verses and things often like that, just sitting around?
Yes, I make up verses.
The idea comes to you and you build
them up? Yeah, build them up.
And then how do you get the music, get your tunes to it after you get the
After verse? I get my verses laid up, then I come get my guitar and try two or three different tunes, see which one takes the best with it, or be the better to play it in, and I start out.
Are there many these country blues around in this neighborhood?
Yeah, there ain't so many around in here, but good little deal too.
Do the people around here like them?
Yeah, they're crazy about it.
Do they like them better than anything else at the dance?
Yes, sir.
And how much of your dance programs are made up of these kind of songs?
You mean how many of the songs I have made up for the dance?
Yeah. How many of the country blues do you put in with other kinds of things that you dance?
Well, I put the rest smart.
Do you like to play them better than other kinds of music, or what kind of music do you like to play best?
I like to play the blues the best.
Right,
blues.
How many other kinds of songs do you know besides blues?
Well,
you can go over some of the different types of music.
You mean play them?
What kind of other types of music do you know besides blues?
Well, we play a little some love songs.
What about breakdowns?
Well, we can play the breakdowns.
Well, after you, whiskey baby, you know, and I was a diving down, I would dive to the bottom now, girl. Never I come up, but how? You're gonna miss me when I'm dead and gone. You know you're gonna miss me, baby, when I'm dead and gone. Well, you know I've been feeling, baby, blue all day long. I just been sitting here thinking one word, and the word is you gone, but how you gonna miss me when I'm dead and gone? Well, you gonna miss me, baby, now when I'm dead and gone. Well, you know, I got something to tell you, I got something to tell you, baby. A thing or two. I just can't stand it low down. Oh, well, you do, but how you gonna miss me when I'm dead and gone? You gonna miss me, baby, now when I'm dead and gone. Yes, you know she's gonna miss you, boy. Look at that thing, man. You know, bye-bye, baby, I ain't got no more to say. Now, just like I've been telling you, guy, you're gonna have to. Now, I need my help, but hey, you're gonna miss me when I'm dead and gone. You know you're gonna miss me, baby, now when I'm dead and gone.